The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It's The Hard Shoulder. It's Anton in for Kieran. Now, the Oireachtas Committee, the Joint Oireachtas Committee, is sitting today to review the recommendations and the report of the Citizens Assembly on drug use. Now, that Citizens Assembly was chaired by the former HSE Chief Executive, Paul Reid. He joined me on the Anton Savage Show on Saturday, and I asked him about the progression of the recommendations, because significant time has passed since the Assembly sat. Here's what he had to say.
Well, we had a period to the end of 2023 to conclude the Citizens Assembly process, which is a fantastic process in deliberative democracy. We presented our report on time to the Oireachtas, and just a couple of weeks ago, I was in with the Oireachtas Committee, which has been established. So it is quite rightly over to the political system now in the Oireachtas. But on behalf of the Assembly, I did express frustration that, you know, a lot of the recommendations we came up with could be done in parallel. You know, there are some, I guess, recommendations sitting on the shelf since 2017 about moving to a better health-led approach. It's in the programme for government since 2019, and it hasn't progressed, and we're in 2024. So the Assembly were quite frustrated that hasn't progressed. You know, we also feel that it could have been a new strategy developed this year in tandem with the Oireachtas looking at
it. Did you expect anything else, though? You ran the system a long time.
I suppose when you look at the issue of drugs, and we got so in-depth into it, it's probably been the most deliberative, engaged, comprehensive discussion on drugs that's ever happened in this island. We had 120 presenters into us, we had 250 hours of deliberation, we had 800 submissions. So from our perspective, we've probably got really close to the heart of the issue. We saw from people's lived experiences and living experience the hurt that's caused to individuals, families, communities, and every day that we waste time on, more people are losing their lives.
That's the chair of the Citizens Assembly on Drug Use and former HSE CEO Paul Reid. And obviously the committee convened in the last couple of weeks to begin to look at that. The vice chair of the Committee on Drug Use is Senator Lynn Ruane. Good afternoon, Senator.
Hello.
Can I ask first of all about that issue of the time passing? Because one of the things that characterises a lot of the recommendations that the Citizens Assembly landed on is the word urgency. Is there that sense of urgency with the committee and with the system?
Yeah, like I think definitely the committee feels that sense of urgency, but obviously the committee has to operate within the political system, and it relies obviously on both houses passing motions to set the committee up, etc. So unfortunately, the committee gets caught up in the same bureaucracy that a lot of things do. But I think that Paul Reid is very accurate in what he's saying in relation to all the recommendations that can happen in parallel to the committee's work, because not all of the recommendations, actually most of the recommendations, do not need any legislative change. You know, so a lot of them are in relation to policy, a lot of them in relation to implementation, and a lot of them are already within the gift of the department. So a lot of them recommendations could happen now, even without the deliberations of the Citizens Assembly. And I think that is an important point to make. I think the policy issue is a different thing in relation to the legislation piece. So the piece, I suppose, that we're grappling with in the first few weeks is the issue of where we need actual legislative change to ensure that we have, I suppose, a more humane and person-centred approach to drug use in Ireland.
And how much wrestling is left for the committee? Because I assume that to a large degree, the fact that the Citizens Assembly has chewed over this for as long as they did, and the fact that you have all been individually privy, if not officially as a joint committee, but you've all been individually privy to the report. So is most of the heavy lifting done?
Yeah, a lot of the heavy lifting is done even before the Citizens Assembly. The Citizens Assembly was a great way, obviously, to bring the public into that conversation. But actually back in 2017, off the back of my first piece of legislation on front of the Shannon, which was to decriminalise personal possession, back in 2017, the Department of Health did ask me at the time not to push a vote on that legislation, that they would actually carry out a public consultation. And they did carry out a public consultation, and that public consultation had 20,000 submissions. Which was the highest ever rate of submissions to a public call from a department ever. So even before the Citizens Assembly piece, I think a lot of us have already moved along in the conversation. There is very much cross-party, I think, agreement that how things have been done to date is not adequate, and that prohibition has not worked, and that, you know, drug use continues. And in fact, it's very, very hard. The criminal justice system approach is actually quite harmful to people. The thing is, we seem to be very slow politically to act on the evidence that we already have. I think the Department of Health, Department of Justice, and I think the officials and the different bodies and structures that work with underneath them all actually have the evidence. They know the evidence, but there seems to be some sort of delay in actually implementing real evidence. But I do think what the committee has done, given us a chance to do, is to not speak in isolation domestically. Because I think up until now, we've had, I suppose, the position being a justice one. I think the guards to date have been very, very vocal about their fears around, say, decriminalising the person for possession. But I think what the committee is allowing us to do is to actually have public debate where we can have international evidence, where people that are working on this issue in Ireland can also hear from their peers around the world.
But can I ask about that, Lynn? Because one of the things that's particularly, that is very challenging about this, getting peer evidence and getting a broad insight into how significant the harms are is relatively easy. And I mean, not just the harms now, but the Citizens' Assembly made clear that there is an urgent need to respond to increasing harms with fentanyl and everything else coming into the Irish market. But if you look at their second recommendation, they say that they want drugs misuse to be a policy priority and that it needs to be a part of the evolving public health issues, and that it needs to require, it impacts on individuals, families, communities and the wider society, and requires a whole of government and whole of society response. When we talk about this issue, we tend to distill it down to decriminalisation, legalisation or not. Whole of government, whole of society responses, they are very difficult things to make happen.
They are, but I do think change in the statute books allows us to begin to look at it differently. And I think maybe without kind of overcomplicating that, I suppose, in such a short segment, when we remove things from the criminal justice perspective, how we can bring in the whole of government response when we don't see someone as a criminal, right? So if we view it through a human rights lens, rather than just a drug use lens, and we look at someone's human rights. So if somebody is caught with drugs possession, lots of their rights are altered if they're seen as a criminal, whether that be right to housing, right to education, right to privacy, right to bodily autonomy. So you can actually also look at the issues of drug use through that human rights lens. And while it remains on the statute books as a criminal offence, that whole government response can become very, very difficult, because then people are seeing the people they work with as criminals first and then drug users second. So I think the moment we remove that prosecution element, it actually opens us up much better and wider to all the different departments that can play a role in ensuring, I suppose, that we exercise the rights of all of our citizens, regardless of whether they use drugs or not. So I do think the criminal piece is an important one to kind of blow open all the other areas that we're kind of needing to act on.
Will that be tricky to move on for a lot of the larger political parties that you'll have to convince? Because surely there is a sense that says, look, the ultimate market for the Hutches and the Kinahans of this world is created by people who are the purchasers of these drugs. And if you let them off the hook, you make it easier to sell and all the rest of it. Whether that be right or wrong, I imagine that has to be a lot of the view, and it's therefore a difficult political sale for parties that want to be perceived to be pro-law and order.
Yeah, I think the work needs to be done there to understand how those are separate issues and how supply of drugs is still an illegal offence. So to decriminalise possession means you're decriminalising the individual. It doesn't actually make the substance itself legal. So the actual market in terms of the black market still remains an illegal market. And once something is an illicit market, well, then it means that the justice system obviously has to work to intercept that illicit market. And that work continues. The relationship between, actually, if you look at other places in the world that have decriminalized, it hasn't increased the amount of drug use in terms of, we don't see a massive rise, say, above the European level in the likes of Portugal and stuff. So it decriminalizing doesn't actually flood the market with more drugs. Prohibition is actually what creates and has created historically the black market as we see it today, rather than the act of drug use itself. And I think if we can try and uncouple those, which I understand is difficult to do, but as we can see, already criminalising people for having for being either drug users or misusing drugs hasn't impacted the market at all. Do you know what I mean? So we're actually criminalising people for no reason at all. It doesn't actually change the landscape in terms of the illegal market.
And one of the things that the Citizens' Assembly lent towards was that in addition to limiting the level to which you would criminalise people, you would also provide a far greater level of supports and rehabilitation and a more health-focused look at the people who found themselves addicted to narcotics.
Oh, 100%. And obviously there's a difference between misuse and drug use in general. So it's making sure that you have the adequate indicators in place that if people need supports, well, then supports are available to them. There's lots of supports in Ireland, but they're not at the level that we need them to be, that they're accessible to everybody when they need them and when they ask for them. And I think that that's hugely important. I think when we look at Portugal 20 years ago, now Portugal would say that there's a few things they would change. Now, they did have some reforms last year, but obviously 20 years ago was a very different climate to introduce drug decriminalisation. But what they're saying, the things that they would change now are things that we can look at to actually, you know, do kind of bring it that one step further. So what they have there in terms of the dissuasion committee, which is not a criminal sanction, but it's saying that we can offer you the support, we can point you in the direction and we can refer you. And I think that that's an important thing. Of course, we need to be able to offer supports to people, and we need to make sure that those supports are in place for those who need them. But we also need to make sure that we are not mandating people into treatment for drugs misuse. I think most of us know and understand that addiction is a complex issue, and people are most effective in terms of accessing drug rehabilitation when they are ready to, not when they are ordered to. So I think it's important that under any regime that we introduce or any structures that we introduce in Ireland is that we make sure all those supports are available, and that they're available every time that someone may come looking for them, but that we don't actually punish somebody for not availing of them in that very moment.
And can I ask, Lynn Ryan, how big a problem do you think drug misuse, drug-induced deaths, drug-related deaths are? Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that the committee says, is it talks, or rather the Citizens Assembly says, is it describes them as alarming levels of drug-related deaths. It hasn't been seen as a significant crisis nationally in the broader discourse, is it?
It is. It's a huge, huge crisis. I mean, we have one death a day from overdose in Ireland. We had over in 2022 alone, we had actually slightly more than one death a day. And that's from overdose specific. So that's not even it taken in then the data that we may look at in terms of drug related deaths, you know, so in terms of like if we're looking at organ failure, liver cirrhosis, things like that. So there's other things that are addiction related. And then there's other things that are overdose specific. And we are one of the highest and we're right up there actually at the top in relation to the European countries in relation to overdose deaths. And I think even though a lot of people care about that, and a lot of people are rightly outraged by that. It hasn't been seen, I suppose, as a national crisis in the way that it would. And I suppose being a little bit sceptical for me as the reasons to why is because are those people who are dying from overdose less important than how people may die of other things
within their lives? Well, to put it in context, if those numbers that you have are accurate, if it's one a day at 365-ish per annum, roughly, that's double the amount that are killed on our roads.
Yes. So I think there's something there culturally. I don't think, I mean, I haven't done enough, I suppose, research on it to understand people's, I suppose, perceptions of, you know, why some deaths may be more important than others, or if you die in one way, is that seen as more of an urgency than another way? But I do think there's definitely a conversation that needs to be had.
Setting diplomacy aside, I assume what's underlying that is a sense that the person who ends up dead by drugs is in some way responsible for their own, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be my concern. Yeah. But again, like I said, that's more of an inclination from my own experience in terms of communities that are most affected by overdose. Obviously, anyone can overdose, and there's people from all sorts of communities that have overdosed. But if you were actually to go into the demographics in any real way, I would imagine that some communities bear the burden in much a bigger way in terms of the deaths from overdose. So I do think it's class related.
It has obviously been an issue that you have evidently been involved in for some time and been passionate about for some time. Do you see the work of the committee and the taking on board of the work of the Citizens Assembly, do you see this as a particularly good opportunity to make change?
Yes, I see. I suppose I have to remain optimistic. I mean, I'm working in addiction services since I'm 17, and at the drug policy level, in terms of as a public representative, I've been trying to obviously change the laws in relation to 2016 and keeping the conversation live at every possible turn. And I think I have to see every time that we have this discussion as another step forward. And I can honestly say that when I did speak about drugs in 2016, I can definitely see the trajectory has changed. I do see that more politicians are speaking more positively towards the changes that need to be made. So I do need to, I suppose, keep that in mind, even though I'm frustrated that the system is still currently as it is. I am also very, very optimistic and hopeful that I can see lots of attitudes change. Well, and I think the more that changes, hopefully we get to.
Indeed, but let me just give you some of the text in, because I suspect that you may still have a job of work on your hands. I'll just read you a few, because there's you can get the sense and then respond to the totality. Yeah. I'd like to see the same amount of effort be put into treatments for scoliosis, asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, funding for hospices, before focusing on people who decided to take drugs. The committee was stacked with far left who view drug users. They are for the most part criminals. We can't take justice out of this. It's pie in the sky. Look closely at Portugal and the USA with the massive increase in harm from decriminalisation. Another, has anyone gone to Lisbon lately? People are taking drugs everywhere in the open. Very uncomfortable there on a recent visit. So I offer that not as counterpoint, but as a sense of the kind of reaction that you will undoubtedly get as this moves on.
Of course, and I understand, the first point that's being made, I understand that people are concerned about other areas of health that are where people are being left behind. And I think my intention is never for it to be an either or. You know, I think we are a country that has a considerable amount of wealth and resources, and I think we can provide adequate care for everybody who needs that care, not one over the other. And I think in relation, I have visited Lisbon recently. I've also visited the American states. I've also visited those who have implemented drug policy. I've visited their mobile health units, with their mobile methadone units, their mobile consumption sites. And I would disagree, I suppose, with the assertion that the harm has risen in those states due to decriminalisation. I think that the research doesn't actually stack up in that regard. A lot of the speakers we have in front of the committee over the next while are all experts internationally. Everything from the commanders of police forces to those who work at the highest level of the Drug Global Commission. And I think their evidence kind of wouldn't support that comment. And I think in relation, I'm not about kind of responding to each message as it comes through, but I think in relation to that, it's stacked with left. That's actually just an untruth. The Oireachtas has to use a thing called the De Hondt system. So that actually from, you know, whether it's Fine Gael down to Independence, Fianna Fáil, there's actually a specific number that is upheld on the committee, and that's how the committees are filled. So there's government parties, there's more left of field parties, and there's independents, and that number is the same on every committee that's established.
Lynn, thank you very much for your time this evening. That's Senator Lynn Ruan.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.